It's now time for our sermon. So I would like Tim Trujillo to come on up and just share briefly. We have a number of students as well as a couple of adults to be able to share with you today various aspects of the trip. So Tim, what would you like to share with us?
Briefly, right. So I had the privilege of going with a few kids, and you saw them today, and there may have been a few parents along with that on that trip too. We left March 20. We traveled for 48 hours to a little town called Bomet, Kenya. I have some photos that we're going to show in just a second, so we can get ready to transition those. We arrived in Bomet, and on Sunday at 5:30 a.m., we started our project. And this is what it looked like. So I have the first slide. This is what it looked like on the first day of the project. So you notice there's no walls, and the roof is not roof. Those are just tarps to keep us in the shade. Next slide. So you notice you're going to see different colors of shirts, and it's actually how I can tell what day. Each day we wore a different color shirt, some of interesting designs and colors. Some of us look like prison inmates. That would be day three, and you'll see that in a few minutes. Next slide. But unfortunately, on Sunday, you know, if you've been on a mission trip, things don't always go according to plan. And on Sunday, we had a torrential downpour, and we had to shut the project down at 1:15 p.m. So half day, I was a little frustrated because I was hoping to get this project done, and now it's looking like we're not going to get it done. But it turns out that God had some other plans. So this is end of the day on Monday. So next slide. This is now, notice the green shirts, kind of bright. We had no problem keeping track of our team on the campus, let me tell you. Monday, we started the project up again, worked a full day. Next slide. You can see all the green shirts. You can see the walls slowly creeping up. Next slide. And by the end of the day on Monday, we had actually made incredible progress. That's where we are at the end on Monday. So next slide. Notice the shirts have changed. You can keep track. It's easy to know which picture is which based on the colors of the shirts. So now we're moving up. It's getting harder. It's getting more difficult. There's a great picture. Look how many kids are working. It just looks the exact same on the other side of the building and inside the building. Oh, and by the way, we're also doing VBS. This is now Tuesday. So we've been doing VBS the whole time. Look at all the kids inside. The tarps come off because we're getting so high up that we literally can't get the blocks up if there's tarps on top, okay? So next slide. This is the end of the day on Tuesday. So don't go to the next slide yet. So we have been working now 2.5 days. It's hot. We're sunburned. We're bug bitten. We've had some bruises, some scrapes. And I realize at this point that we're doing really well and that we probably are going to finish the project Wednesday. And so on Wednesday morning, I told the group, look, I know you're tired. I know you're exhausted. You've been working relentlessly. Maybe you need to slow down a little bit. Anyone that wants to stay at the hotel, it was a lovely hotel, just and relax and get some rest and recoup and recover, you know, drink some fluids, take some naps, welcome to stay back. We'll be fine. How many people do you think took me up on my offer? Zero. And I tried to convince them to stay back. Now, one person did have to stay back because we would not let him go because he was, we didn't want to expose the entire bus to the sickness that he had. So, but that was not his choice. That was our choice. But in terms of all the kids, some of who I expected to say, yeah, I'll just stay in bed and rest and sleep, none of them took me up on the offer. Wednesday morning, next slide. This is the construction part, right? So Wednesday morning, now we're moving up, and you can see the progress that we're making. Next slide. There's some kids there. You can see the windows are starting to take form. We're at our last row. That's the last row, that's the 12th row. Next slide. And of course, we're being very safe on the project site. No one is taking unnecessary chances, except for maybe Greg and Derek. That's Greg and Derek. They have really good health insurance, and they were willing to take unnecessary risks despite my unhappiness. Next slide. This is Andy Thors, who is on the trip with his daughter Tatum, who is in seventh grade. He laid the last block on, and that's him laying it right there. You can see that gap. That's the last block on the row. Okay, next slide. And just in case you thought everybody was just laying block, it turns out in order to lay block, you need cement and mortar. So, next slide. Kids are working hard. This is end of the day, end of the day on Wednesday. We finished the project at 1:15 p.m. So in 3 days, remember half day Sunday, full day Monday, full day Tuesday, midday Wednesday, we finished the project. And I'll let you in on a little secret. The in-country director, who I met on Sunday, the first day, told us there was no way we were going to finish the dormitory because our team was too young. That is the wrong thing to tell me, let me tell you. And so I told the kids that. And it turns out we finished it in 3 days rather than 6 days. So super proud of our team. Yeah. Every person that went, every child, every adult laid a block. They're without exception. Everyone laid a block. Next slide. So that's the finished project before the roof's on. We put the roof on Thursday. Next slide. So it turns out on Wednesday evening or Wednesday afternoon after we finished the dormitory, the one of the Maranatha gentlemen said, oh, and by the way, great job finishing up the dormitory. You guys are done now. You know, we just got to do some cleaning, assemble some beds, put the roof on. That'll take us a day and a half. And I said, well, how about the bathrooms that are behind there? And that's a picture of the bathrooms. And I said, well, how about the bathrooms? And he's like, well, you know, there's another team coming that will do that. And I was like, great. So when will they be here? At the end of August. And I said, well, what are they going to do for restrooms and stuff? And they're like, oh, we'll figure it out. And I said, well, we have a day and a half left. And he's like, oh, no, you have too many other things to do because you started this little pediatric clinic and we're seeing like, you know, 40 students a day. And you're doing VBS and you have to clean and you have to put the roof on and you have to assemble all 96 beds and you have to put all the bedding on. There's simply just no time for you to do the bathrooms for the girls. And I said, okay. So Wednesday evening, I asked the team, I said, look, we're basically done, but if anyone wants to, like, work really hard, maybe we can maybe make some progress on the bathrooms. So Sam Boyd, sitting right here in the front row, was the first person to respond. Sam, I don't know if you remember what you said. I do, because it made an impact on me. He said, let's do this. Do you remember that, Sam? Yeah. So, and the rest of the team was, like, on board, and so we did it. So we started the bathrooms on Thursday morning, and if you didn't catch the list of all the other things that we were doing in addition to the bathrooms, it was a frantic pace of construction and assembling of beds and putting roofs on and doors and windows and cleaning and seeing children at our impromptu pediatric clinic, which you're going to hear about in a couple minutes, and VBS. So that's the beginning of the day Thursday. Next slide. There's another picture, same area. Next slide. So we started laying block. This is now Thursday morning. So we're already at row three. This is midday. Next slide. Ms. Peterson, next slide. Oh, and by the way, like I told you, we had to assemble all the beds, 96 of them. You can kind of see them in there. That's my wife wiping her head there because it's back-breaking work. Because they come together, they're very easy to put together. Right, team? Yeah, we had to use sledgehammers to put the bunk beds together. There's 32 bunk beds, three high, so that's 96. So that was on Thursday. Next slide. But this is us, end of the day, on Thursday. We made incredible progress. The team worked very hard. But remember, Friday, they want to do this dedication service. First, they said, we want to do dedication at 10 o'clock in the morning. And I was like, well, we want to lay block. Well, there's no laying block on Friday. I said, is it a holy day or what's the deal? It is Good Friday, so I didn't know if there was some like issue there. But we just expected that you guys would just, you know, get here about 10 o'clock in the morning, have a leisurely breakfast, and, you know, and you'd be all nice and clean for the dedication service. And I was like, no, we're here to lay block. So 5:30 in the morning, we're up on Friday. We're on site, and this is every morning, by the way. We got up at 5:30. We drove for an hour and a half. We worked for 8 hours. We drove for an hour and a half. We tried to make it through dinner without, you know, passing out. And then we had worship at the end of the day, every day. So 5:30 in the morning, Friday, next slide, we're off. Now, and this is the same picture, end of Thursday, next slide. This is the team. This is Wednesday. I'm just going to go back a little bit. We laid a final block. Everybody signed it. Everybody from the team, it's called a capstone block, was able to sign the block. And we laid it right there at the apex of the front of the building. This is the entire team. Again, everybody participated in this project because everybody laid a block, no, without exception. On Friday, worked at a mildly frantic pace and made it to the 11th row. We made it so far that the in-country director for Maranatha that was there said, we're going to go ahead and dedicate this. My team, she had a team of a few guys that were there helping us, and they're going to go ahead and finish it. So on Friday, we dedicated the, okay, that's the last one. That's what I thought. Not only did we dedicate the dormitory, which we built, but we also dedicated the bathrooms. So, is that the story of this trip? I could end here, and you would be like, wow, you guys did really good work. And I would tell you, well, we didn't do that. That was God. But that wasn't the story of the trip. There are some, the story of this trip is about a team of 46 parents and kids that bonded together, that learned about what miracles exist in life, especially when things did not go right for us. Every day, plans went awry, and yet God came through in a big way, and it was exciting to see. So but I'm not going to tell you all about that because I have a job for you. I want you to come to potluck. Our entire team is going to be there. Ask us about those miracles that I talked about. Ask us what it was like, what was the hardest thing that we did. Ask us what it was like to finish the project and yet leave those 300 students. Ask about the tears that were shed. Ask about what it was like to take care of children that have nothing. And ask how they were changed, because that's really the story of this trip. Yes, did we do good work? Yes, we did. Thank you, Jesus. But the story of this trip is really about the people that were changed that participated in this trip, and without exception. So come to potluck, seek us out, and hear our stories. So now I'm going to pass this off to two lovely ladies who are going to be sharing with us what it was like to work in the pediatric impromptu unplanned "We Did It Because They Asked Us" clinic. So I believe Miss Livia and Darcy, I think, also is going to be sharing with us. So I'm going to pass the mic off to you.
Okay, so my favorite thing was working in the pediatric clinic. I think the coolest thing was just they came with nothing. They came with something as little as like a skinned knee, which we would just like put a Band-Aid on, but they came here, and even with something as little as just put some stuff on there, put a Band-Aid on, they were so thankful just to get that little bit of help, and just to see them coming for anything, and just, I think it was really cool to just be able to provide something for them and be able to help them when they have so little, and just to have that experience, so it was cool.
Probably one of my favorite things was having the opportunity to go to Kenya, but not only just to go to Kenya, but to be able to help assist Dr. Trujillo, Dr. Teal, and Dr. Wang. They were amazing. They helped with just little scratches or maybe even people that needed whatever they needed. Seeing inside of the Kimagoda school was so eye-opening. And it was just so eye-opening to me to maybe I can see that in my future. I see me helping more. I want to be just like the doctors. And just seeing teachers and students, like 3-year-olds to the teachers that have been there for how many years, I don't know, and seeing them come knowing that we're going to help them, and seeing them leave with a smile on their face, that is amazing. Smiles are so contagious. I was sore at the end of the day from how much I've been smiling. It was crazy. And some valuable things I learned was being patient. You have to be so patient. These kids speak little to no English sometimes, and sometimes they don't know what you're talking about. being compassionate, being able to get on their level and understand what they're going through, because it could be as little as a knee scrape, but they think their legs gonna have to be chopped off. And seeing the teachers coming to us and being like, help me, and we would be able to do as best as we could to help them, and seeing them leave with smiles on their face was amazing. Just smiles were contagious. And it's just an opportunity of a lifetime, you know, seeing these kids and teachers needing our help was awesome. And yeah. And I just want to thank everybody that was there and that helped me and that we helped others was awesome. So, yeah.
Libby, I want you to share one more thing. I know I'm looking at the time, but you know what? It's all right. Tell us about Maureen.
Oh, wow.
This little girl named Maureen, I didn't really, you know, you see all these kids and they follow you and then they go to the next person, but no, this girl stood by my side. She did not leave. And then one day, as we're leaving the bus, she runs up as fast as she can to give me this note, and it says, "Dear Livia, Livia, you are a good girl. You mean the world to me. I wish you were my mother, and you are my best friend, Livia. You mean the world to me, and I really like your style," from Maureen. You want to know how hard I would have cried? And it was just, it touched my heart. And the next day she gave me a little bracelet and then another note. It was so amazing. And that day that we had to leave, she said, "When are you coming back?" And I said, "Soon. I'm gonna be back soon." And I just know that I left that school. We all left that school leaving something, leaving those kids still smiling as hard as they can. They lay in their nice warm beds that they now know that they're going to be safe. They're going to be able to know that they will still be smiling. So, yeah.
There's many more stories where that came from, so find those girls afterwards. I'd like to invite Thomas to come forward. Where's Thomas at? All right, in the AV booth, and his mother, Mrs. Whitcomb. They're going to share a little bit about our VBS program. I don't know if we could call it VBS because it was during school time, so it wasn't really vacation Bible school, but it was definitely an opportunity for us to interact with the kids on a more intimate level, and all of our students got a chance to rotate through from the building project to VBS. So I'd like this mother-son duo to share a little bit about their experience.
All right, I'm going to give some overview, and then Thomas is going to give a story. So every morning we'd get up on the bus, and our VBS team would kind of try to sneak into one of the nicer buses, we thought, because we'd had lots of planning to do on that bumpy hour and 40-minute ride. So I wanted to just share a few highlights from each day, one little story that sticks out in my memory, and I hope you'll enjoy them. So Sunday, we played games all morning with the kids, and we played this game called Steal the Bandana, not bacon. And my highlight from that game was there, once it got to like the third and fourth graders, the girls just put themselves on one team and the boys on the other team. They self-sorted. And when they realized the rules and that it was a race, there's this girl like this, she's like, "Okay, shoes off, shoes off." And they all kick their shoes off and ready to run, you know. So it's a great chasing game. It's just so cute. Their shoes don't fit them. They don't, you know, it's just uncomfortable. So they could be much speedier without them. Monday on the bus, Sylvia had worked on the Bible stories, and then she had the team of students acting them out, coming up with their parts. And so she was listing off the characters in the story of Esther, and she goes, "I need a horse." And Jax goes, "Oh, I can totally do that. I have experience with that." So anyway, his part as the horse parading, you know, through town was a hit, and all the children were full of laughter and enjoyed his part there. Around Tuesday, we had, I think that's when David and Goliath story came about. We were talking about confidence in God. This is the funniest thing. I don't know, you know, Caden, who wanted to be called Candon on the trip, he was playing the part of Goliath, and his main body was Darcy, and then Caden was on top of her shoulders. And I think, as I recall, a couple years ago, they went to a banquet together, so they just had a little... support here. It's kind of cute. Anyway, so Caden did a great job just, you know, projecting his voice and being really deep with his voice. And then God bless Darcy. She was holding him on her shoulders for a long amount of time. But it was also a huge hit with the kids. I'm a teacher. So one of the things that was enjoyable for me was to watch the teachers and see how they interacted. So every time we were singing songs and the teachers of the young children were there, I could see them in the back. And if it was a new song to them, they're doing their best to try to make the motions, remember it, record it on their phones, happy to get the song sheet afterwards. So delightful to see them. There was a project, and this kind of reminds me a little bit about the body of Christ. So Jennifer had this idea of making a banner with the kids' handprints, and Tyson had gotten some materials together, and then they're like, I don't know if we'll have time to get this done, but we'd really like a tree and all the kids to have their handprints on it. And that just doing that one little project involved so many people, and it just showed me how everyone with their different talents coming together could create something of beauty. I think you'll see a slide of it in a little bit. It was a real delightful time watching our students paint their hands, watching our students help print their hands onto the project, and then that will be displayed inside the dormitories for the boys' dorm and the girls' dorm. You know, things don't have to be a lot of work to enjoy with children, and Tyson had brought these bubble guns, and the bubbles, I think Kendall was just tired out. She said, I'll take the bubble gun. She was just running around the field with the bubbles, and the kids are chasing her, and she just had to keep running and running. It was just a delight to see. And finally, before we left, something that brought a lot of joy to the children was Beanie Babies. We had over 300 Beanie Babies that our students were able to give to their students. And the children had never had a toy like that. They just hugged them, loved them, took pictures of us with them. And it was just a sweet little gift that we could leave, something they could cuddle and hang on to and remember the gifts that were given to them, but something that was just for them too. That's the part I wanted to share with you, some highlights of our children's ministry time.
Thank you, Thomas. Yeah, we built a lot of paper airplanes over and over and over again until they were falling apart. I'd like to invite the three youngest members of our team forward. So Sam and Kendall and Jax, and the three of them are going to grab a mic up here, and they're just going to share a little bit about their experience being the youngest team members, and I kind of just gave them free rein. Share what really inspired you. Share what you wanted to, what you guys want to share. So, Kendall, come on up. And, you know, all of our kids were really hardworking. From the youngest to the oldest, all the adults were really hardworking. I was just truly impressed by everybody. But I guess I'm just super impressed by the three of you, being the youngest and not having any of your other classmates there, and you guys weren't on the same team together, but you did such a fantastic job. So each of you guys can just take a moment to share. We'll start with Kendall. And no, you don't want to go first? All right, Jax, we're going to make you go first, all right? And then we'll go Kendall and then Sam.
So it was really crazy for me that we're the same age, almost the same size, and how different the grades were and how different the classrooms were and just how different their lives are compared to ours, and thinking I have so much more than these people. And it really made me appreciate all these assets that I have and all of the things that I have. And I'm like, oh, I don't need this, but they would love to have something like this. So I feel like I'm really touched by all of the things that they don't have that they should have.
What I'm like thankful for on that trip and stuff was when like I let down my hair and then they all just like crowded me and like pushed me to the ground and braided my whole head. It took like an hour, it felt like they were gonna rip off my head afterwards though. But it was just so cool. They were like so excited to see my like reaction and stuff. And then there was this one girl, because she knew that it was hurting me, and she was holding my hand. It just brought like a smile to my face.
Happy Sabbath.
Happy
day. Happy day.
Happy Sabbath.
This mission trip for me is certainly something I'll never ever forget, for lots of reasons. But what really stands out is the kids' smiles. You've seen the pictures. The kids have so little, but they smile so big. Even the first day when we drove up, it was amazing. They were waiting for us. They had such huge smiles on their faces, singing, welcoming, so happy. A little like I think heaven might be like. And that continued all week, between classes, in the church singing with us, playing soccer, always really big grins. But on the Friday we were there, the smiles grew even bigger. I didn't know their grins could get bigger, but they did. There's a program to honor and dedicate the new dormitory we built. There was singing and speeches from a lot of people. But then they had us line up, and they gave us a present. They have so little, yet they gave to us. A boy named Elias gave me my rhino. And my Kenya bracelet. This is the rhino. After that happened, all the boys that were moving into the dorm lined up, and we were honored to hold their hands and walk them into their new home. I was with my new friend Elias, and guess what? He had a brother there too, just like me. His name was Dennis, and I was honored to walk these two brothers in. They didn't jump around or go crazy. Their faces looked like it was just surreal. So amazed. Nobody grabbed or fought over bunks or beddings. Dennis and Elias even picked beds right next to each other. And then the smiles came. They grew bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger, even the biggest I've ever seen. I mean, ear to ear. So these brothers definitely will always be my friends from Kimagoro. In my example, they taught me how to show gratitude, how good it feels to be part of giving to others, and how to really smile. So that was how my Friday in Kenya ended, but my Kenya Sabbath was just beginning. So we went to another church. More kids smiling to welcome us. They even gave us a bunch of flowers. they had picked themselves. Pastor Tyson did a sermon on confidence in God, then we headed to Masai Mara. We arrived just as the sun was setting, and that view I had at my last Kenya Sabbath was coming to an end. But there was still one more exciting part. Can you guess? This is where my brother and I were baptized. Can I get an amen? The pool was warmer than I thought it would be, and there was no hippos in the water. So that was very good. Pastor Tyson, my mom, and my mission trip family were all there. The sun was going down. It felt so great. We had studied so much over the last year, and it was finally happening. This was my chance to give my life to Jesus. And just as Elias had Dennis, I had my brother Ryan right beside me, also being baptized. So that is how my Kenya Sabbath closed. Dunked underwater, out in the big wide world, surrounded by my God and his creations, having been given the opportunity to do good in the world. My mom, my brother, auntie and cousin right beside me, the rest of my family at home praying for me, this whole church having helped me get to this moment, and Pastor Tyson and Mario right beside me. Each one of you helped me lock in my decision to give my heart to God. Now that's something to smile big about, and certainly something I don't intend to forget.
And I think we got a preacher on our hand, Sam. All right, got two more boys to invite up today. I'd like to invite JJ and Evan to come on up and just share a little bit about their experience as well. These are two buddies that are kind of thick as thieves here at home, and I've been actually studying with them on a regular basis, so I thought I'd ask them to share, because both of them, and I'll just embarrass them a little bit, everybody was really encouraging on this trip, but one thing I noticed about JJ and Evan on this trip was that they were oftentimes the first to be encouragers, first to share insight and spiritual thoughts and wisdom, and I was just really impressed by you guys. So please lay a little bit of that on us today, all right?
I'm not sure if I can match Sam here. You set the bar pretty high, bud. But my name is JJ. I go to Motherlode Adventist Junior Academy. And I spent the last 10 days exhausted, sleep-deprived, and sick. But I do it all over again in a heartbeat. This mission trip was a gift. And this gift came in many parts. It certainly keeps on giving. Mission trips have two parts. One, how you can dedicate your time to go and serve others, help those in need. And two, mission trips are one of the greatest opportunities that God can use to mold you and shape you into becoming a better tool to bring others to the kingdom. One of the gifts that I was taught during these 10 days was the gift of learning. I learned so much about their culture, and so beautiful in there, how they love. Their form of affection, like mentioned, is a little foreign and uncomfortable at first, having all the kids you've just met run up and grab a hold of you and not want to let go. And it definitely is uncomfortable. But once you grow to appreciate this beautiful culture and these people that God have created, it's very warming. People in Kenya really love their country. And one of the other gifts that keeps on giving is a physical gift that we all received from the kids at the Kimangoda school. We all got a Kenyan bracelet here. And when I was in the Qatar airport, one of the many experiences I had that started off with, "Oh, I see you've been to my home country." Started off with a man I met. His name was Dismas Matundara Twara. I met him at one of the little shops in the Qatar airport. And that's how the conversation started off. I talked with him at 3 a.m. in the morning for about an hour, waiting for our flight to leave. And it was an amazing experience. We continue to ponder everything that you've said and still try to process it. And after only 15 minutes of talking to the man, I'm trying to hold back tears as he shares with me his story. He has a family in Kenya, his wife and two little girls. One's 4 years old and one's 1.5. The youngest one, Madeline, he has yet to meet. He's sending money from where he's at and says he will get to see her this December as he starts counting the months that'll go by before he gets to see his little daughter. And it was a gift that Dismas trusted me enough to share the burden he had on his heart. Now, on the last day at the Kimongoro school, I share the exact same experience as Livia here. One of the kids who's been holding on to my hand for a while now looks up at me and says, "When are you going to come back?" And I had to pause for a little bit and really think about my answer here. It started to hit home that we were leaving all of these children behind. And so I said, "Soon. Hopefully, one day I'll come back." So I want to thank everybody that made this gift for all of us possible. It will live with me forever. I'll get to relive experiences. I'll get to share it with my family and friends. So, thank you.
Hello, my name is Evan, and I go to Sonora High, just right pretty close to this church. So to first start off, this trip was one of my favorite memories that I've had my whole life. It was just an experience to live, and I would definitely do it again. So, of course, all the kids that we were with, they were so positive, and they made me positive, and just the team included. So all the teamwork we did to make the building with all the positivity and just the encouragement that everyone gave to each person was definitely making the whole team go faster and make the building go faster. And then all the kids' smiles, as I said again, the positivity from them also helped the team go stronger and faster. And after we finished the building, all the kids were so happy and joyous to be able to have a new structure to live in or to sleep in. And that made my day that day. And it's going to be a life-changing moment. And at the end, we said our farewells. We gave gifts of love and physical hugs and handshakes, all that. And when I left, I met these two really nice guys, not little kids, but around a little younger than me, but they were really kind, and they said their thank yous and told me how appreciative they were of our work. And thank you to everyone who helped this trip possible. And thank you for the team, for all the positivity. And we couldn't have done this without a Mr. and Mrs. Trujillo making this missionary a possibility. Thank you.
Have you witnessed any lives change today? How many of you know some of the kids that have been up here today, these young adults that have been up here today, before the trip and after? Have you noticed a difference? I sure do. And it's amazing to see. We have one last thing to share, and I'd like to ask Jen Trujillo to come on up here. She has she requested to share just a few words. I was going to give her the day off because she has done so incredibly much for this whole team and stressing over everything and making this trip a reality. So I'd like to ask her to come on up here. So come on up, Jen. But before I give you a microphone, I'm going to give the microphone to this strapping young man as well, because we have something special.
Yeah, so God didn't send a committee to save this world. And committees are great, but it takes an individual to drive something forward of this magnitude, to plan behind the scenes. None of us will know until we do it. I don't know, because I've never done it, but I know that Jen spent countless hours planning, getting ready for this trip, making this experience possible for all of us who went on this journey, as well as all of you who got to participate in the form of supporting us to be able to go on this journey. So I just want to acknowledge the effort and the work and the time that went into this. We got a couple of guys that I want to present Jen with just a little token of our appreciation for putting this whole trip and planning together. And it hopefully is a nice little reminder of the journey.
There's a story behind this this painting. The very first day we were in Kenya, we stopped at a spot to go to the bathroom, and there were some people selling souvenirs. And Jen saw, I believe it was this painting, Jen. It was in the same spot, but it was really tough. She saw this painting and absolutely wanted it. And one of the things, if you've ever been to Kenya or East Africa or some of those countries, you don't just pay whatever they ask for. Usually it's incredibly too high. You barter, you know, bargain down. And we were on a time constraint and we weren't able to. And Jen had asked my help, can you please help me buy this? And it just wasn't working. So we walked away. And we're like, oh, I said, we'll find another one. And we didn't find another one. And on the last day, racing to the airport, I told our driver, can you please stop at this spot? I have to buy this painting. And so he did. And Jen was trying to, in another vehicle, trying to find it and missed it and was all bummed, if I'm not mistaken, that she missed out on this painting. So I didn't tell her that I was going to get it for her on behalf of the team. So Jen, this is the least that our team can do to say thank you for all of your hard work.
I have cried so much in the last 5 days, actually since we left, but okay, so I will try to pull it together here. This is my book that I carried through the whole trip and started writing in it the day we left, and it was my brain. It has all our rooming assignments, questions I need to ask, things we need, all these things. So I thought it only fitting to write my notes for today in this with my pen. And when we arrived back at the church just Tuesday night, there were many of you waiting to greet us, even those of you who were not waiting to pick up your children or your loved ones. And I came down off the bus, and as I'm coming down the steps, I just burst into tears. And I couldn't stop crying as we're just handing things back out. And Pastor Jim can attest because he hugged me and welcomed me home. And I had to cover my face and I was just sobbing, the kind. And I was just overwhelmed with gratefulness. And gratefulness for so many things, but very grateful that we had all come home safely. And what's been just playing in my head over and over again since we've been back is this verse from Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20. To him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us, to him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. And I'm just so grateful for immeasurably more than all we could ask or imagine of the support of our sponsors and donors and you as our church family, from the parents who trusted us to take their children to the other side of the world and return them safely without them. From the Maranatha team, including Manu and Kotesh, who were by our side from start to finish and just repeatedly said, whatever you need, which was usually water and toilet paper. From Chef George and his staff, who provided breakfast for us at 5:30 every morning, which means they were up long before that to give us this hot breakfast. We were the first team to request breakfast at 5:30 in the morning. From Joshua, the hotel manager, and his staff, who twice a day followed us with brooms and mops, cleaning up all the mud that we trampled in on our shoes from the work site. And they refused to let us leave our shoes at the front and go in our socks. They said, no, no, it's no problem. You're welcome, they would say. No worries, madam. Immeasurably more than we could ask or imagine from the crew, the construction crew, who thought Tim was crazy, but continually supported us and carried us through. And even on the very last day, when they had some scaffolding, they helped our one student who had missed signing our last block safely up to the very peak of the roof to sign that block so no one's signature was missing. More than we could ask or imagine from the Kimagoro school and churches who welcomed us with parades and singing and encouraged us from the sidelines and just loved us and gave their brand new bathroom to us for use for the entire week while we were there. Immeasurably more than I could ask or imagine from our team, from our parents and students who were told they would be up at 5 a.m. to breakfast at 5:30 and driving away at 6:30 and asked to work on their time all night long, the first day, day here, night there, and to ride 4 bumpy hours round trip every day, to hike on muddy roads when we were told the roads were too slippery for our buses to pass before they went to work, to carry hundreds, thousands of pounds of cement and blocks. Nobody complained. Not once. And immeasurably more than we could ask or imagine from our very great God, who accomplished his work through our untrained hands, a work that was not possible for us. Team, I boast about you in the Lord because it is through him that you did this. You let your light shine so bright that you are welcome again and again. And I have to explain this because in the United States, when we say thank you to someone who has done something for us, we respond with, "You're welcome." And sometimes we even may feel a little bit of pride because, yes, we did that for you. You're welcome that I did that for you. And while we were there, I kept saying, "I'm sorry about the mud we're trampling. I'm sorry we're making you get up so early to cook food for us. I'm sorry we're interrupting your classes and your schedule." And they kept saying to me, "You're welcome, madam." And I'm like, that doesn't quite fit. I don't understand. And after a few days, it dawned on me that "you're welcome" means something very different in Kenya. It means "you're welcome into my life. You're welcome into my heart. You're welcome into my personal space. You're welcome into my family. You are wanted here. You're welcome into my country. You're welcome in our school. You're welcome to come again." So, to the Discover Life Seventh-day Adventist Church and the Wired Youth Group and our Youth Sabbath School Group, Malaja, to our Sonora Youth Mission Team, from Chef George, who made sure that you had sugarcane and ice cream because you were endeared to his heart, from Manager Joshua, who repeatedly cleaned up the mud we tracked through his lobby and three flights up the stairs, from Maranatha and Kotesh and Manu, who you are forever in their hearts, and from Principal Shadrach and the Kimigoro School, you are welcome again and again very soon.